Om Shanti. Welcome to our first session of this group, and we have a very special session on understanding balance, our eternal anchor. And we have a very special Baba Jules from very far, actually, but not much far, because we are family, right? So on your left, Brother Stephen. He's from Australia. Actually, he came to Baba in 1994, and he was a resident in Madhuban, actually from 2006 to 19, in working as a manager of organization development at the Global Hospital. And then now, currently based in Brisbane, BKS Center, Australia, and there he has a business as a change in culture facilitator, and he has really great mastery on facilitation. I have some experience, actually. I have seen him. And on your right, Brother Jeff, and he came to Baba in 1985 in Sydney, Australia. He mostly spent his time in Australia and also in Madhuban doing service. When he's in Australia, he lives in Peninsula Retreat Center, Baxter, actually. And when he is in Madhuban, he stays mostly in Shantivan, working in the animation department. So especially, you know, with animation and all. So he does that, and he loves exploring yoga and subtle reason and going into deep silence of point-like state. So we have very special conversation, and this topic, understanding balance, is really something fascinating, right? So over to you, brothers. Thank you so much joining us.
Thanks, Rishi Bhai. Yeah, thanks, Rishi. Feel welcome to come closer so it's a bit more of a conversation. Family sitting around the campfire. And so I'd like to welcome all of those joining us online throughout the world. This is also live, I think, on YouTube. So that's wonderful. And Jeff and I, when we were first asked to come and have a conversation, and this topic of balance came to both of us quite quickly, and it was a couple of days ago, and what we thought we'd do was that often we find that a lot of people say, what does churning mean? And find it difficult around churning. And we just thought we'd give this topic as an example, because 3-4 days ago when we came up with the topic, we started to play with it and have conversations with it. And that was one part of the process. Coming up with the title was another part of the process, to-ing and fro-ing and churning. And I was also going for walks with one of my friends, also a Rishi, from the hospital, and for 3 days we talked about balance and just really going into the depths of it. So today is just a conversation, really, as a example of churning, and we can do it with any subject topic. And we have so many sources of inspiration that we can tap into in terms of Avyakt and Sakha Merlis, but also our own experience. And so that's what we were going to do. So, Jeff, what attracts you to this topic of balance?
Well, after being with Baba for like 40 years, I sort of like was looking back and sort of like looking at what actually kept me with Baba for 40 years. And if I go back way into the early days, like in the 80s, it came back to actually balance, because I, from the start, I remember when I came to Madhuban the first time, one of the Avyakt Merlis Baba talks about, he actually did mention about balance between, like, for example, karma yoga and yoga, knowledge and yoga, and, you know, things like this. So I actually, in the early days, I started thinking about, you know, how to keep a balanced life, because if you're working full time and you want to lead a spiritual life, you know, then you have to juggle, you know, a lot of things, you know. So, and my situation was, I mean, it was, we all have different situations, but my situation was, for the first 6 months, was a bit of an upheaval as I changed my life, you know. So the people I was associated with, the people I had relationships with, the people I was working with, all had to adjust to this new me sort of a thing, you know, as I gave up all the, you know, the physical vices like drinking and smoking and, you know, going out and all of those sorts of things. So people were wondering, of course, and my family was wondering, you know, lucky family was wondering, you know, what's going on, you know, why are you changing so dramatically, you know. So,
such a common experience for all of us.
Oh yeah, for everyone, you know, because it's a very big life shift, you know. So, but then after settling down after 6 months and coming to Mataban, I sort of like switched a lot of things, moved out of, changed my situation, so that I could keep a better balance between my spiritual effort and my lokic sort of like commitments, like for work, you know. So I moved into a brother's house and I started going to the Butties in the center, and that actually helped me a lot, you know, because I realized from very early on that I need to keep a balance of yoga and karma yoga and plus the merely churning all the knowledge. So I think after 40 years I can honestly say keeping a balance between yoga and karma, like karma yoga, is what actually helped me to survive for a very long period of time.
I'm really curious to know about how your understanding of balance has changed, because everything gets nuanced. So your understanding of balance 40 years ago, as opposed to today, you and I were having a conversation about this, and our understanding of nature, like the body has this natural homeostasis, as in it corrects things. If you have a cut in your finger, then the body responds naturally to do everything to bring things back to balance. And so, and nature itself, you know, that whole thing of ecosystems and cycles of life and decay, there's this whole balance thing. It seems to be very natural. How has your relationship with balance changed throughout those years?
I think as I've gotten older and then longer in Gyan, I think I've started to trust myself to keep that balance through experience and through, you know, trial and error, obviously. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things which don't work, you know. So, but sort of like changing that and finding your feet or balance on your feet, you know, rather than sort of, so I've tried to do that, but now I can innately know, because I work on computers for the last 35 years, but also now, because, you know, I'm in my 60s, sort of like, you know, and still working on computers for quite long periods of time, I've started to now address the balance of time I spend doing this and time I spend in yoga and time I spend on myself, you know, because doing service is wonderful, you know. You get sustained by Baba a lot, but you also have to keep that balance of stepping back and, for me, going into silence. And luckily, the office in Shantivan where I work, there's a Baba's room just the next door down, you know. So if I feel I'm getting a bit strained or tired, I can just walk away, go into the next room and sit and chill with Baba, you know, and then sort of like it refreshes a lot, actually. I find even just 10 minutes, 5 minutes, it's wonderful, yeah.
I'd like to dive into two words that you've used there, and one was around trust and how you said you learned to trust yourself as time went on, and that the balance became more innate. And when Rishi and I were going around, walking around the lake, we were talking about that it's sort of like it's equilibrium or balance, Baba uses the word equilibrium, is a natural state of the soul.
Mm.
And that when the more we, as you said, those early days of your life was those yoga buddies, and the more we experience just that natural equilibrium, it builds and it builds.
Mm.
And it becomes more natural so that you're able to see when you're out of balance. What do you think has been helped you refine that sense of it's innate? What's helped you tune in to that natural state of balance that lies within you?
You know, funnily enough, you know, during COVID, you know, because we all got locked down, you know, I got locked down at the retreat center. So for like 18 months, you know, no one was coming to the retreat center. We were just had this small sort of like stove fire going in the lounge of the retreat center, and we weren't using any of the heating or much of the big electricity, you know, so we were trying to keep all the costs down. And we had such the best time, but I realized then, because Baba said right at the start of COVID that this time is for you, you know, this time is for you to sort of like do the yoga and become more introvert. So I thought I will do that, you know. So I started doing 1 hour in the evening instead of just half an hour. And because I guess there's not much interaction during the day with outside, you know, I was doing the shopping for the retreat center as well, you know, so going to the supermarket in masks and all of that sort of stuff that we did, you know. But I realized that that extra yoga power actually helped me. A lot. I could see a change inside, and that helped me actually even further keep a natural balance, because I realized what I'd been missing.
Mm-hmm.
I was too skewed one side for doing service and karma yoga, but not enough yoga. But during COVID, I obviously went sort of more to the yoga side, but then I realized I could see the actual change in the sanskaras, and I realized that I was actually imbalanced. I was too much one side, you know, not enough the other side, in order to change like Baba wants us to change.
Lovely, lovely. It's there's no substitute for yoga in this process of emerging our natural state of balance. It's there, just like as in the homeostasis, it's in the blueprint of the cells of the body. It's in the blueprint of nature. It's also in our blueprint. And there's certain ingredients that's required for us to tap into that natural state of balance. I'd just like to read from a Avyakmali. Shall we do that?
Yeah, definitely.
So this one is from the 8th of June. So what we just did was we just used the Merli search engine, right? And we just went in and asked about balance and just came up with some Merlis. Fully recommend that you go to this, the 8th of June 1972. It's 72. An absolute cracker.
Wow.
It is so good. So I'm going a little bit down, and it says it's in line with what Jeff was just talking about in terms of that balance between karma and yoga. And Baba in this particular instance is talking about the balance between dharma. So he says, whilst performing action, let there be religion, dharma, that is completely imbibing dana. And then because the balance of dharma and karma is accurate, the impact will be greater. So in this Merli, Baba talks about pairs, and he said there's many pairs with respect to balance, and this is just one of those pairs that he's giving an example of. He talks about the balance between love and power, the balance between love and law, the balance between service and yoga, etc. Whilst performing actions, you become engrossed in your actions, but if you do not have complete dana, what would you call that? You tell people that life and situations of today have become like because dharma and karma have been separated. So ask yourself, is there equanimity, that's the word Baba's using for balance, in dharma and karma, that is, in your dana and in your actions? Or do you forget while performing actions, and then when your karma finishes, you become aware of the dana? At that time, you remain very busy in karma. Do you also have dana? Is your dharma powerful when the karma is light? And he says something really interesting. And when Rishi and I were walking around the lake, we were looking at the link between balance being the foundation for all of the eight powers, and that balance is the foundation in particular of the power of judgment. And when you look at the image of the power of judgment, it uses the scales, and each side of the scales has a pan. And Baba says, only when both pans of balance, of a balance work, only when both the pans of a balance work accurately, does the balance have any value. So powerful, isn't it? Only when you've got that balance between both, is there any value between that particular dharma and karma, or love and law, or love and power. What's your thoughts about that particular extract, Jeff?
Well, I mean, dharma is, of course, our natural religion, of course. Baba says, peace. Mm. How peaceful am I while I'm doing karma yoga? Mm. Mm. I mean, for me, I've learned to pick up signals that I'm too much into the computer, I'm doing too much physical things.
So that's catching power.
So that's catching power, yeah. Yep. So I've learned to pick up these signals, so now, of course, the signals actually become more prominent when the body gets older because, it cannot do as, not as, when you're younger, you're full of beans. Not coffee beans, but other beans.
You know what full of beans means?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just an Australian saying, you're full of beans, which means you've got a lot of bounce and energy. But for me, as you become like physically and spiritually more mature, you can actually read the signs and then realize that, you need to take the time to keep that balance, especially of like dharma is my peace, my personal peace. Like, because Baba says the religion of the soul is peace, and purity. So as long as I keep my original peace, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I can always come back to it, But if I lose my inner peace, then I'll just get stressed and tired and, I will not be keeping that balance. So I've learned to cherish that balance and cherish those signals that come, because they're not only Baba's signals, they're the signals of the body, they're your own signals as well, that you need that balance. So for me, it's picking up that.
That word cherish is such a delicious term. What does cherish look like to you on a day-to-day basis? Because it's like things can go past really quickly and we haven't given any sense of sacredness or gratitude to that moment. So
two good words, sacredness and gratitude. And I think for me, cherish the moments of during the day when I'm working, cherish those moments where I can just walk away and just sit with Baba and be peaceful, because I mean, that's like Baba says so many times in the Murali, that's the only thing that's going to save you at the end, is your ability to go up above and be with Baba within a second, So we need to practice that while we do a lot of, different things in our lives. So, I mean, for me, I've learned to cherish my own sort of like ability to, cherish the peace, cherish the time that I take off, just for 5 minutes and cherish it with Baba, because I feel a big difference every time I do it.
Before coming here, I was basically working up to the very last day. I have my own business.
Mm.
There's also, you know, when you have your own business, it doesn't stop. So there's been a little bit of interaction with it whilst I'm here. And you can feel from the moment that I arrived, I went, oh my gosh, how powerful is every moment that I have here?
Mm.
That I could see the subtle awareness of things that maybe I couldn't see at home. And then all of a sudden I went, wow, this time here, every second is so valuable. And I think, as Rishi said, I lived and worked in Madhuban at the hospital for 13 years. It was a 6-day week. And there were many moments. I remember one particular moment where we'd just opened the trauma hospital.
In
Shantivana, and I was the administrator of the hospital. And I was, most nights I was working till 8 o'clock, and I remember sitting at my desk having this sweet complaint to Baba, and I said, here I am at 8 o'clock, everybody's over at yoga and doing their things, and things need to be done to get this hospital set up and going. And I got this very strong message. He says, when you need it, I will give it to you, I will turn it on. And so for me, it was that balance between giving and receiving. And to just test it, to demonstrate it, it was 8 o'clock in the evening, finished my work, went to Shantivan. And I took my scooter over, and I was just walking past Nawarbai's cottage. And the brother came out to me and he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just about to have my dinner. He said, come in and have dinner with Nawarbai. There's nobody to have dinner with Nawarbai. So Nawarbai and I were just having dinner for an hour, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, we were laughing and we were playing and we were talking about deep stuff, and I was feeling myself being so sustained. So I had that beautiful 1 hour with him. I walked out of the cottage, and the brother from Daddy Janki's cottage walked out and said, Daddy is calling you. I said, what do you mean? How does she know where I am? And I walked over to Daddy's cottage. He took me to Daddy's cottage.
Mm.
And there was about 20 to 30 senior sisters from around India. And she was talking to them, and she called me to the front and sat me down at her feet and started to sing my praises to everybody in the room.
Oh, wow.
And it was like that whole beauty of just surrender. That balance, that know that you're in Baba's lap, Karan Karavanhar is doing the things. And from that moment on, I didn't care that I was sitting in the hospital at 8 o'clock at night. I knew that when Baba needed to turn it on, and he would turn it on, and he did turn it on. So it gives you that sense of confidence. And as I said, as you said before, your sense of innateness builds.
Mm.
It's like that balance with karma and yoga, the more you experiment with it, the more you experiment with throwing it over to Baba. Can you tell us about any particular experiments that you've done over, say, a sustained period of time that's helped with that sense of balance or that sense of trust in yourself and Baba?
This is
an unrehearsed conversation, by the way. We haven't rehearsed anything. We're just having a chat.
It's on the fly. Over a very long period of time, I've always, this word again, cherished my evening meditation. Because I remember when Aviakt Murli, I was in Madhuban, I think it was the late 80s, and I was there out of season in Pandabhavan. Gyansarova didn't exist. And Baba was talking about, he said that evening yoga is only second to Amrit Vela, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think about that. I thought, why, you know. Because actually, you know, it's like the bookends, you have a bookend on a bookshelf, you know, you have the beginning and the end. It's like bookending the day. You know, you start the day with yoga for Amritvela, but you finish it on the other end, you know, with a good sort of like yoga experience, you know, and that winds up your day, you know. And I realized that, you know, you need both bookends to keep that, to keep the balance. So I just sort of like thought of that. But otherwise, it's just one-sided. By the time you reach the end of the day, you're tired, you know, you can't focus properly, or, you know, your Amritvela the next morning might be tired or just, you know, a little bit down, you know. So for me, keeping that balance both at the beginning and the end of the day, especially with yoga, has helped me very much, a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that analogy of the bookends. I have the same experience, Jeff, in terms of I absolutely adore the 7 to 7:30 meditation. It's just something about it. And I invite you to think about, what is it that you cherish? What is it that you could experiment more whilst you're here, about identifying what is it you cherish so that you can really cement that when you go home? When we were sitting before this, having a coffee over in the art department, speaking of beans, David was there, and I've known David for 30 years, as you have, plus, and I lived here for 13 years, as you know, so David and I became really close. We spent a lot of time together, cooking together, having fun together, walking, exploring, and I think the strength of our relationship is the fun that we have and the sense of humour, and that lightness, because Baba, in the same early, Baba is talking about the balance between entertaining and being in solitude. And so it was just a spontaneous moment of us horsing around, really, and playing with words and making each other giggle. And it's such a beautiful thing that Baba talks about. He says you should be entertaining to the extent that you remain in solitude. Your entertaining nature should not disappear when in solitude. Both should exist at the same time and to the same extent. When you become entertaining, you say that you have come down from being introverted. And when you become introverted, you ask, how is it possible to be entertaining? However, both should exist simultaneously. You should be in solitude in one moment and be entertaining in the next moment. There's so much more to it. It's so cool, isn't it? It's like that. If you think about the most joy that you've had, it's in relationships. Mm-hmm. Often, you know, we get lots from Baba, but the joy of being with the family and the joy of that, that sense of how we can be ourselves and really have fun. How much has humour and fun been a part of your Brahman life, Jeff?
I mean, a lot, actually. I mean, in the early days, of course, I when I came to Baba, I was 23, so I was very young and serious, you know, because I had to study, you know, because when I finished the course, I bought every book in the centre and started reading it all at once, you know. Sort of like,
hands up if you've done that.
Yes.
Bought every, yeah, a few hands up, gotcha.
Few hands, yeah. So, I mean, so, and of course, at that time, when I came to Baba, there was most of the Brahmins in the Sydney family were actually older than me. So I was like, you know, and they were more mature, so I didn't sort of like, you know, I had to, and I was, even in high school, I was very quiet. I mean, everyone said I was weird because I was so peaceful. Even in high school, it was really weird. So, I mean, but I liked just the introvertedness, the peace of just being with myself, basically. It was a really strange thing. But, I mean, but I learned to actually just become much, much lighter, you know, and not let the heaviness of burdens sort of overtake me, especially because we have so many karmic accounts from 2,500 years, and these are hidden karmas that we can't remember that we've done, you know, and they might come up and manifest in some way or another, you know. So this is the balance of keeping knowledge and also, being mature plus entertaining, you know, being light, you know. But nowadays, I mean, after sort of like a long time in yarn, there's not much that can sort of like, well, I can't say phase, but you know, you'll always find an odd sanskara that might pop up sort of randomly, you know, when a situation arises and you find yourself reacting. But of course, the power comes from actually catching it before.
Catching power again.
Yeah, but actually becomes external or before you react, you know. Because I remember there was one brother who's left the body now, very older brother. He used to take positive thinking at the retreat center. And I overheard one of his classes, I was standing up the back, and it was really good. He said, being positive, but he said, being equanimity in equanimous, I don't know, that word.
Yeah, anyway, that word.
Being sort of like stable in terms of a situation, you respond rather than react.
Mm-hmm.
Because a response is a measured sort of like I've measured myself, I can see myself reacting, but then I pull myself back and I respond with a measured sort of like, I don't know the word, but a measured sort of like level rather than just emotionally reacting. Or, you know, because anger comes up, huh? We've been getting angry for 2,500 years to various degrees, you know. So some things might affect us more than others, you know, especially situations. So being able to actually see that before it manifests, you know, you can see the sanskaras, you know, so you, again, catch it and then assess the situation differently and then respond to the situation. Because otherwise, if I react and become a little bit inflamed, of course that might inflame the whole situation if it's that sort of situation, excuse me. So, I mean,
I often say in the course, when I'm giving the course, I say, please don't believe a word I say. And I say the same today, don't believe a word that both of us say. It's your own experimentations with respect to Baba's knowledge, and make it your own, and think about it in terms of your own context. I live in the centre with two other brothers. I always joke that I'm the youngest and the shortest. I'm 6 foot.
Let me say shortest.
Yeah. Jeff is, Phil is 6'3" and Peter is 6'4". And we put a lot of effort into building our relationships. They had been living together for 10 plus years before I came on board. So I'm a different personality, and it took a while for us to understand each other's sense of humour, understand each other's idiosyncrasies. So it took work and it took experiment, but we have dinner and fun together every Saturday night. It's in the calendar. Friday nights we have a meeting. We have breakfast and some dinners together. But a huge part of our relationship is the lightness in the house, the sense of humour, and the jokingness. I'm coaching a young woman who's studying in Boston, and she's currently doing a course on the ethics of humour. And it really helped me understand that, yeah, it's really amazing that humour can be degrading, it can be belittling, and really understanding pure humour. And that's what Baba is teaching us, is that lightness that we have towards each other without diminishing someone's sense of self. It's a way of keeping each other light and lifting each other up. And I think that humour is that great way of not taking yourself so seriously. And it's a really fun thing to do. So what about this whole thing? Baba talks so much about the balance between love and power. What have been some of the examples that you've seen, say from the daddies or some of the seniors, that has really brought home to you how the balance of love and law works?
I mean, love and law, Baba's often said, you know, be loving to the Brahmin family, but then be lawful to Lokiks, because we live a completely different life. But within Brahmin life, love and law, I think there's a correlation between being light and being serious, you know, which is lightness is a playfulness or love for interacting with others, you know, whereas lawfulness is a bit more being sort of like, not detached, but, you know, more serious a little bit, and, you know, a bit more mature, but serious. But Baba says to, you know, I mean, one second, like you read, one second you can be entertaining, the next second you can be, or the next minute you can be sort of like quite serious, depending on the situation. So I think keeping that sort of like that balance between the lightness and then the maturity that you need to do and the responsibility that you have in order to work through that situation. I mean, for me also within that, I mean, I read one of the, when I did the Murli search also on balance, one of the Murlis I thought was interesting, which relates to a personal meeting with Baba, and he said love for the Brahmin family, you know, and this Murli that I came across in the Murli search said keep a balance between love for Baba and love for the family, because if you only have love for Baba, then it's only going one way, but of course if you have love for the family, you're actually letting it spread outwards, you know, you're actually sharing that love, you know. So I thought that was actually a really good, interesting little sort of like paragraph in that Murli. And then I looked back on my early days that, you know, I used to sort of like being sort of like young in Gyan, you're concentrating on your own spiritual life, but then of course we have karma with all of our Brahmin family, not just our Lokiks, you know, because we've been travelling the cycle together, we're in the kingdom together, you know, we do different roles in the kingdom together. So, I mean, having that love for the Brahmin family is like what Baba says, is seeing the speciality in everyone, you know, and they're Baba's child. And I like what Baba says, is always says in the Murli, that even the last soul in heaven, you know, Baba's chosen, so they have a speciality that Baba needs, you know. So having that love and regard for everyone, sort of like every Brahmin, I think is very important to me anyway.
You've, over the years, you've had a lot of exposure to the daddies and seeing your brothers and sisters. Who comes to mind easily when it comes to love and law?
I mean, love Daddy Prakashmani. Mm. I mean, had some wonderful experiences with Daddy.
How many people had first-hand experience of Daddy Prakashmani? Okay, less.
Daddy Prakashmani was always loving. She was like that loving grandmother, you know. She was, she was amazing, because I started staying here in the early 2000s full-time, you know. I was working in the art department and also with Prashant in the Awakening Channel. We were doing some projects together, and I was in Pandavavan one day, and the Yagya had, I was walking across the courtyard, and the Yagya had just bought the first Toyota Qualis. So it was the first foreign car in the Yagya, you know. So Daddyji was there with a coconut, and there was like flowers on the car and, you know, everything like that. And she saw me without any hesitation. She called me over and handed me a coconut, you know. So together we cracked the coconut for this car, you know. So, and I thought, wow, without hesitation, it doesn't matter who it is, they're walking across the courtyard, you know, she'll just call them over and include them, you know. So that was her love for everyone, you know, all the Brahmins. So that, to me, that really, wow, you know, that really touched me, sort of like her love. And of course, when you think of lore, of course, you think of Daddy Janki, you know, because she was pretty tough, you know, but she was also loving in her own way, you know. And I saw firsthand, it was funny, Daddy came to Melbourne in Australia for a international conference or something, and it was at the Hyatt Hotel in the city. And she was staying there, so I was her driver along with Hansa and some others. But when you're in the car, you get to see firsthand how they interact outside of. It was so funny, I tell you. I've never seen that interaction, you know, between Daddy and Hansa and everything. So I got to see a side of Daddy that I didn't normally see, because not being on the other side of the planet from London, you don't see her day to day. You only see her in the formal setting, you know, of classes and, you know, visits and, you know, things like that. So to me, I could see that Daddy also kept that balance, you know. So
it's such an important part of the yajna systems of being an example and a sample. And we may not have the daddies, but there's lots of examples and samples around us. And you know, you really need that power of judgment, power of discernment to take what you feel is suitable for you. I also witnessed very much both Daddy's love and law. I saw moments of, you know, she'd walk from Pandav Bhavan up to Shanti Bhavan to read the Murli, and she'd have four or five brothers around her that were telling her what the numbers were today, how much they were ordering. And in that walking, I walked once and they were saying so many kilos. She said, no, this many kilos. And she'd be asking, what's the price per kilo? I said, no. And this interaction between her room and Shanti Bhavan, and just a sense of detail of that she was over and what she understood, it was like, wow, it was a real eye-opener for me. You'd see when, in the days when we would have, March was a really busy season here. You'd have 13, 14, maybe 1800 BKs. And Daddy would come up on the stage and she'd say, is there any question, any wish that any one of you feel that you'd like to have fulfilled before you go that you haven't had? And, you know, somebody would put up their hand and it'd be boom, it'd be given. Somebody said, we haven't had ice cream yet. That day we would have ice cream. You know, just the small things, but that sense of attention to detail. But I also saw the law. I saw when there was one brother who was misbehaving, and it was quite a high level of misbehaviour in Madhuban, and this brother was sent home, and Daddy at Murli the next morning was talking about it, and that's when I saw law, and that's when I knew that there was a real balance between love and law, and that you could be lawful, but with a great sense of concern for the yajna, but also concern for that person, is providing boundaries. And I've really thought a lot about that, is boundaries are really important, is not to be a doormat, particularly when you're a centre wasi and you're running the centre, and you can be really over polite with respect to someone's behaviour, and you're not setting boundaries. And what I've learned is that when you set boundaries, you're being kind, you're being loving. It's a way of expressing love. And I think it's a really, there's so much for us to dive deep into as we navigate our Brahman life. Every single day gives us an opportunity to experiment. We have, and Jeff and I were having this conversation around the Saka and the Avyak Murlis. And I said to him, in terms of balance, what's the difference between the Avyak Murlis and the Saka Murlis? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've always loved the Saka Murlis because it's like the raw knowledge. Baba talked about this in Avyak Murlis, about wholesale knowledge and retail knowledge. I don't know if you've ever heard these Murlis, you know. He talks about that. The Saka Murlis are the raw knowledge. I mean, Brahma Baba became perfect through them. you know, the daddies did, mama did, you know, all the seniors, you know. The Avyakta Muralis are more to do, I mean, with personal dharana and dharma, you know. But towards the end, I mean, Baba started doing sort of like the drill more, you know, to practice. But of course, Baba was also drawing on Brahma Baba's experience over his life of being with, you know, in the yajna and being sort of like before he became Avyakta. So, I mean, Bapdada had that wealth of knowledge, both Shiv Baba's knowledge plus then Brahma Baba's experience and knowledge, and that sort of like became combined, you know, to form the Avyakta Muralis, which I thought was very interesting. But to me, still, I get a real kick out of the Sakar Muralis, you know, because I mean, I'm a very visual person, which is why I do animation and graphics. I've always been like that. I mean, I can hear it, but while I'm hearing the Murali, I have to read it as well. It goes further in if I'm reading it while I'm hearing it. And doing that, I'm also almost talking to Baba and having yoga at the same time. And so the Murali impresses in me. If you know what I mean, it's not just hearing it on the surface, it's actually going inside. And I can almost have this really nice experience of hearing the Murali and going through time to when, not only when Baba was talking, but Baba talks about the Copper Age and the Golden Age and, you know, the warrior religion and all, I mean, the whole sort of thing. So when I have that yoga and I listen, I have that experience of being transported there as well through Baba's words. Baba's words are very magic, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm also very visual. I draw pictures, and that when I sit down for my 7 to 7.30 meditation in the evening, it's the degree of love to which I've drawn my pictures, they just, as soon as I sit down, everything comes back to me, all throughout the day as well. With respect to Sakar and Avyakta, I see that the Sakar Muralis are the foundation for balance, and the Avyakta Muralis are the language and the refinement around the dana associated with balance. It's really cool, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of, if you, every day, if you just say for a week, look at the Sakar Muralis in terms of foundations for balance, and just and refine your ear of how Baba is providing the foundations for us to have equanimity, and then experiment with it, and then you'll, the magic behind that is on the Sunday, you'll get some Baba will give you signs of what balance looks like in the Avyakta Muralis. So that's the sweetness of it. I just wanted to check in. Are we allowed to get questions from the floor with a microphone? Is that possible, brother? Yeah? Yeah. Because I'd love to know how this is landing for you, how you're receiving it, whether it's we're on track, whether it's touching the heart, and any thoughts or questions that you may have. We okay? We okay? A few questions? Sister, I think you have a question. Yeah?
Om Shanti.
Can you say your name and which country?
My name is Batya from Israel.
Israel, okay.
Balance is needed in Israel, yeah. Of course.
The whole world, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
The question is, sometimes the feeling here that out of balance between too much intoxication and how to balance this with peace. What if you have answers for this? You understand?
Yeah.
Too much.
I think so. How many times have you been to Marban so far?
Oh, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So a lot,
okay.
But still intoxicated sometimes. And
well,
the
that's
feeling
good.
It's too much. How to balance this?
I remember the first time I met Baba, you know, Baba's actually speaking to you and he's giving you a blessing. And the first time I was there, I was just looking into Baba's eyes. I wasn't hearing a word, you know. Someone had to actually write it down and speak it to me later, you know. But and once Baba had finished and gives you a toll, he just floated off the stage. And I was like that for the whole night, sort of like off, sort of like in bliss, you know. But I think don't try and suppress that sort of like, you know. I mean, enjoy it, because when you go back to your home country, it will disappear anyway, you know. So like, it doesn't matter where you're from, you know, because we have responsibilities and lakic responsibilities and work and things like that. That intoxication, Baba, is filling you up, you know. So I think for me, we have to open it up, take it in as much as you can, enjoy it, because then when we get back to our own situations, you know, we will need to remember that and keep that stock in reserve, you know, because Baba gives us so much in such a short time that it can last the whole year, you know. So I think embrace it for me, you know. Yeah,
it's a really interesting one. Just a couple of days ago, one brother was talking. As most people would know, there was a terrorist incident in Australia two Sundays ago, and he was talking about that incident with, to my mind, too much intoxication and too much joy, as though, you know, drama is happening. And so for me, I felt there's such a need to have equanimity, because some people will not appreciate you being joyful about a situation like that. And so there's that balance that's definitely required around empathy in those situations. But I see the intoxication feeding my empathy. I see the intoxication feeding my power to accommodate, my power to tolerate. So I think that those experiences that you're getting, and that's the other word for balance, is the account balance, is that our balance account or balance accumulates as we go along. And the more we experience that equanimity, the more it's available for use in all of the different pairs that Baba talks about. And those pairs are, he calls praise and defamation, which is a similar situation to what you've said in this particular Murli. Baba is talking about the intoxication we receive when we have praise, but when we get defamation, we're not able to, we dive down onto the other side. The other pairs is love and law, remembrance and service, yoga and karma yoga, alokic and lokic, loving and detached, love and power, dharma and karma, entertaining versus solitude. So it's like that pure form of equanimity that comes from those peaceful experiences provides the fuel for all of the associated powers for all of those different pairs that Baba talks about. But great question, thank you. Any other comments or questions? We've got one over here, Rishi, front row, brother side. If you could say your name and where you're coming from.
Om Shanti. Okay. My name is Kshitij and I'm coming from Canada. So my question is that, like she said, she has too much intoxication, or even I or anyone who comes to the Madhuban has a great amount of intoxication when we are here. But how to maintain that intoxication when you go back to the lokic, or when you go back to their daily life, work life, and how to find the balance there? Like you mentioned about all the powers to maintain or keep the balance, to use those powers to keep or maintain the balance in your life. So when you are in your daily life, in your work life, especially I work in a hospitality industry where it's completely opposite to what we have here. Like I work in a restaurant. So how to find the balance there, or how to get the same amount of intoxications or even closer to this kind of intoxication while at the work?
I think you're good for this because you keep a balance between your running your business, you know, and living in the center, so doing your Brahman life plus your responsibilities of having your company.
I think one of the things for me is around experimentation and also closing the loop and having tight loops of your experimentation, because often we have an experiment but we don't close the loop. And closing the loop means to reflect on it, to draw out what were my strengths in that particular situation, what was working, what was not working, what do I need to refine. If you think about anything that's technology, even if you look around you in hospitality, there'll be innovations that are there that weren't there 10 years ago, weren't there 5 years ago, even in hospitality industry, right? And so you've got innovation all around you. Use that as a source of intoxication, of using the situation that you have in front of you as an opportunity to experiment. But it's that reflection in the evening and extracting the essence, the jewels, what was really working for me there? What was the foundation? What was missing? And then you go back and you experiment again. And it's keeping that loop, continual experimentation. So let's just take an opportunity to really experience that equanimity that we have truly natural inside of us. सतयुग में तुमको आना है शिव पिता को अब याद करो ये संगम का स्वर्णिम युग है शिव पिता did I go to answering your question? Yeah, I think I use I used to work in quality improvement and quality management, and there was one term that I loved and I use in my BK life, and it was called Plan, Do, Check, Act. It was called the PDCA cycle. Sorry to be too technical, but it's really useful. Yep, so plan. It means plan what you're going to do. Do. Do what you said you were going to do. Check. Check that you did what you said you were going to do, as in an experiment. And then A is for act. Act to hold any gains that you've made with your experiment. So your experiment may realize that that I'm really patient and I'm really a good listener. And so listening is my superpower. And so listen more, be curious about the perspective of the other person. Where are they coming from? That may neutralize the situation, your understanding of what that person's pain point is. So act to hold the gain, and then you've got a new plan, and then you do it again. So it's often, it draw on your Lockic experience, your Lockic skills. And for me, is around analytical, around understanding systems and processes. So I use that skill. As Jeff said, his skill is around visuals. He's very visual, and he uses that with respect to listening to Baba. So draw on that particular skill that you have and use it. Have we got time for more questions? Yeah? Okay. Any more questions? Comments? How did this conversation sit with you? Any insights? Anything that's, I want to experiment with that?
On a rating of 1 to 10, how would you rate this?
Any comments? Any thoughts? Just happy? Just shy?
Was your question answered okay? Didn't ask that.
Yeah. So in summary, Jeff, after 40 years of playing with balance, what's your key take-homes to help people navigate that path of balance?
Balance of having yoga and living your life, Brahman life. I mean, karma, and you know, for me, it's always been down to the balance of yoga. And since COVID, I always start my evening meditation at 6:30 now rather than 7. That's for me. It works for me. You know, and it helps me a lot. So for me, it's always been that balance that's kept me basically kept that equanimity over my Brahman life, you know. So keeping that sort of balance. Don't get too busy. Take time for yourself, you know, because you're the one who's got to go home and go to the golden age. No one else is going to do it for you, you know. All of your efforts, everything that you do, your churning is for your own benefit, you know. And through that, through our experience, we benefit others, you know, including the vibration. Like Baba says, you know, the yoga power you have, you automatically give others an experience, you know. So that's been my balance for the last couple of decades, actually.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, mine is around experiment, particularly experiment with your experience of peace. Peace for me is the foundation of that equanimity and balance, and the deeper that I experience that, the more natural being balanced is, and it doesn't become a checklist. And I think that that's the key. That's been my shift. From balance being a checklist around being more balanced in alokic activities and lokic activities, spiritual activities and physical maintenance of the body, the more I experience peace, the natural it is for me to feel balanced. So have fun experimenting in the rest of your time in Madhuban, and thanks for coming and listening to our conversation with each other.
I like that word experiment, you know, experimenting in yoga as well.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
All right, thanks everyone.
was really lovely, right? So powerful. Actually, I really loved about, you know, the pairs. Mm-hmm. And really, like,
that's Baba's language.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, listening and thinking, like two virtues, and both have to be there, but we really have to find the balance between, and that comes with experimenting, like with our life every time. So I loved about the peace and intoxication. You need intoxication, but also you need peace, right? And that's where you kind of get to know where to do what. So that's really lovely. Thank you so much for such a deep insights you offered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all of you. Om Shanti.